This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, let's do a little Clearwater check-in as the Phillies continue to really ramp up spring training. I saw Bryce was back yesterday after missing the first day. Wasn't feeling well, so I think Turner got there today or yesterday because him and his wife had a baby, I believe a baby girl, so that's awesome for them, and congratulations to Turner. So everyone's kind of filtering in now, and spring training has begun. But Hugh, it's interesting to listen to their mentality this year compared to last year, because remember last year around this time? They kept talking about the World Series.
They're winning, getting home field.
Yeah, it was almost like
and winning like over 90 games or something.
Yep, they were very big goals, right? And it seems like this year they've peeled back a little bit on the way they're talking. And
lowered expectations.
Maybe that's part of it. Let's hear Rob Thompson on the mindset of the Phillies as spring training begins.
What's the difference in, if any, in a mindset with the guys going into this season first last season, given the way it ended in the postseason?
Well, I think they're every year since 22, they've been a little bit more motivated to get it done. And so I think that's the biggest part of the mindset. So our job really is to make sure they don't get too far ahead of themselves and we pull them back a little bit so that they stay healthy, especially early in the spring, early in the spring games too. So you know, they're like dogs. They just want to get out and run, you know, and you got to be careful.
So, Hugh, that strikes me as a manager that's going to pull back. I remember last year they were pushing. They had their foot on the gas from day one.
All gas, no brakes.
I'm not sensing that this year with a team that's mostly in their 30s. You know, they have some young guys, but it's mostly an older team. Mm-hmm. I get the sense from that they ran out of gas last year, and maybe they try to peel back to get through the full year and October.
I mean, I get where you're coming and feel that way, but I feel like this. They don't know. They're trying to figure out what happened last year. And being is that you haven't changed a whole lot. You kind of ran it back. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out what's the best way to approach this year. Because just like you said, last year was all gas, no brakes. They were talking about getting off to a quick start and all this other stuff.
And they did.
But they fizzled out at the end of the year. They fizzled out the year before that. So now going into the last year, it was all gas, no brakes, and we'll figure it out. But they still fizzled out. So now you're trying to handle this in more of a strategic way. That's what I got from it. You know where you have to be in order to be competitive. But at the same time, you want to try to make sure that you don't have that power outage. Because who was it? Was it Castellanos who didn't have a day off last year, didn't take no days off?
And he wanted
played
to.
Played all the way through.
It was a goal of his, and they let him do it.
Yeah. So I look at stuff like that. That's probably going to change. It's probably going to be mandatory days off. The fact that we've workshopped this lineup for the last couple of weeks, they're trying to figure out ways, man, to keep the, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, keep this lineup lively.
Well, they didn't, like you said, they didn't make much personnel changes.
No.
So they're trying to tweak it to get the best results.
To get the optimal results.
Because
it's obvious. Because what are we talking about? We were talking about Alec was not supposed to be here, Bone.
That was the one people, there was an assumption they would trade him. And it seemed
he wasn't supposed to be here.
It seemed like they tried to. They just
and
didn't like what they,
nothing, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't
it,
like
it,
the offers.
It didn't happen. So now you're running it back as it was. So now you have a good squad. And, you know, the number of wins that you had last year indicates that. It's just that, unfortunately for you, you caught the Mets when they were hot.
Yeah.
And you weren't hot. So now you have to try to figure out a way to keep your guys hot.
Well, one of those ways to do that is to, if they improve on the one area that we've been screaming about for 3 years, they chase too much. They swing at bad pitches, a lot of them. I don't think Schwarber does it much. I don't think Harper does it much. But almost everyone else has issues with that. Let's hear Topper talking about the focus of what they're working on in spring training.
The better pitchers in the league, and if they're attacking your chase rates, if you will, it's harder. It's harder to hold up because it's better stuff. So, it'll be a focus for everybody. You know, make sure that you stay on the base. Don't try to do too much. Pass a baton. Trust the next guy. If they walk you, they walk you. Go to first base, the next guy's gonna pick us up. And if we do that, we're gonna put up big numbers.
Feels like he's talking about somebody particularly. He just didn't want to say the name.
Yeah, it feels like they all are down there. They just don't want to say the name. Yeah, I'll say it. Trey Turner, that's who I feel like when I hear that. It's one of those things like, can they teach an old dog new tricks, Hugh? Because that feels like, because these are not young players.
It sounds like that's the emphasis. You know, hey, you know, if we stay within ourselves, if we take these at-bats and we work these at-bats, then we'll be in a better position. That's what it kind of sounds like.
Well, remember after the playoffs last year, I think Trey's quote was, we get ourselves out. And like, it's like one of those, like, we know. We watch.
You mean like for real?
we all have been saying this all the time. All right, let's hear another guy that does have a pretty high chase rate, and he's always good for a good quote. Listen to I'm very curious to get your perspective on this. Nick Castellanos talking about the pressure, or maybe lack thereof, that the Phillies now feel to win it this year.
What gives you confidence in this lineup?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we're gonna go deep in October. I don't know any of that. All I know is that we need to stay healthy and prepare in spring training and get ready for the season. That's so far down the road. But I do think that we have less pressure as a team this year. You know, especially with like everything the media said about us when we lost last year, and we didn't really go out and make any crazy changes. So like if we lose, you guys look smart, which is dope, right? But then if we win, it's like a happy surprise. So like it's kind of a freeing place to play baseball. You know what I mean?
A happy surprise, the 2025 Phillies. You?
I get what he's saying. He's expectations are definitely different. And that's what he's reflecting on.
It's not as loud, yeah.
I don't think that makes anybody feel better.
No.
I mean, as a fan, you know, to hear a guy that has been so a matter of fact over the last couple seasons say, I don't know, that's not a ring in the endorsement. But I will say this, and this is where we have to understand our athletes. He's a very reflective guy.
Mm.
And so reading between the lines a little bit, and I might be wrong, but it feels like the goal hasn't changed, but the reality of the situation has for him. And what I mean by that is this, is that they did everything you could possibly do right last year, and he was the Iron Man last year, and the results were still the same like you were playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. Bats went cold. So now you're in a situation where the things you have to bank on, your health is one of them. Got to stay healthy. That's first and foremost, above everything. And you have to figure out a way, which they haven't yet, is to consistently hit the baseball. And maybe the emphasis in spring training has been, hey, man, don't chase. You know, take those at-bats.
Take your walk.
Work the clock. Work the pitch count or whatever. That's what I kind of got from it.
So
the goal hasn't changed. I don't think the goal has changed.
But the pressure word, I didn't love that.
Well,
I mean, I don't want them to play with pressure on them.
But you want the sense of urgency that they had
exactly.
Last year.
I like that.
I think it's still there, but the reality of it is this: they didn't do a whole lot, and going into this season, I think most fans look at it and they say, "Well, what do we have to hang our hat on? You didn't change a whole lot.
It's the same.
The same cat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's the same cat. So we're going to shake up the lineup. Hopefully that'll help a little bit. But the bottom line is this. The playoffs. The postseason.
I know. I just like I think back to your teams, right? Because the Phillies, this is 3 years in a row. They're close, but not over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would the reaction have been if an Eagle in 2004 was like, you know, heading into training camp? I don't think there's much pressure this year. Like, what are you talking about?
It's a lot of baseball.
So I know, but this. Don't they realize how old they are? Like, if they don't win now, they're not going to win.
They realize it.
That I feel like is kind of the point. Like, I was going to make an analogy to say we're hanging out with Hugh. And we have something to do at like at 9 p.m., right?
He'll be asleep.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, but the goal is to get to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
So we can't have Hugh exerting all of his energy in the day, or he's going to be asleep at the bar by 7.
6:30, maybe.
And that'll be the Phillies getting eliminated in the first round. We need the Phillies to be ready for the long haul here.
Okay. In my defense.
What defense do you have on this?
We're talking about New Orleans. That's what we're talking about. I know what we're talking about.
Just in general. I mean, we're about to go to Clearwater soon.
We're trying to hang out as a collective with the afternoon show.
Yeah, I know.
I started pre-gaming early. When I start pre-gaming early, like, because I have nothing to do. Yeah. The TV wasn't working. I didn't have my video game, so I didn't have that. So I started pre-gaming
early. That's what I'm saying. We don't want the Phillies to start pre-gaming early.
I'm sitting at the bar, 5:30. So we're supposed to be out at 5:30. So somebody to my left comes down at like 5:45 and says, hey, we're going to go out at 7 o'clock. Oh, that y'all,
well,
that's
a
wrap.
Because that's what the afternoon show told me.
No, but it's a wrap at that point. 5:30, they get off at 6.
7 o'clock is a wrap?
5:30, they get off at 6. Why are we waiting a whole hour to get the party started?
You know why this dog?
Why it was a good analogy.
You know why this dog doesn't hunt?
No.
Because you talk about how like all that time passed, and what are you supposed to do? We get off the air at the same time.
No, but you go do your things. I partaked in a couple adult beverages and a gummy.
Well, that's your own
fault.
And
I was waiting. I'm waiting because they told me 6 o'clock. So it takes you 15, 20 minutes to walk from where you're walking to. Then they hit me with 7:30. I'm not gonna make it. We should have been on our way at 6:20.
You make it sound like 7:30 is 2 a.m.
That's a long time,
Joe.
Oh,
man.
It is when you're that age. The Phillies are in the advanced age.
That's a long time. So I said, all right, then I'll see y'all tomorrow. That's what I said, because I knew what was about to happen. I'm not going to make it to 7, because I've been sitting here waiting around for y'all all day. And he said 7 o'clock. Oh, I'll see y'all tomorrow. It's a wrap.
I hope the Phillies don't listen to this.
We need the Phillies to make it to 7.
By the All-Star break, they're going to be done for the season at this rate.
I'm just saying, it's a wrap. This is going to sleep.
We just don't need all that in April and May because we need them there for October.
That's all right, because when I go to Clearwater this time, boy, it's going to be a different person. Going to hang out all night.
No one believes that. No one believes that. Also, is this greasing the skids when I'm upset in April when they're like 10 and 15 and you guys are like, they're holding back. They're holding back for October.
They're saving their best for last.
Yeah, I can already hear that. Enough of that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Pitchers and catchers have reported. The rest of the players have reported. Philly spring training is on its way. We have our first game on Saturday.
I think
it'll be on WIP. Down there to take it all in is one Scoops, Devin Scoops Caney. Scoops, you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys.
What's up, DK?
Not much. Sorry, the Scoops introduction just doesn't hit the same without a Jackie Baseball there to bring me in, especially talking about the Phils. So.
Well, he decided not to come into work this week, Scoops. You know, no, so.
And I hope he has FOMO because here we are finally talking about the Phillies, whether listeners are ready to hear about it or not. I know we're still basking in the Eagles' glory.
Yeah, we can do both.
But we got to talk about it, okay?
Yeah, well, truthfully, he hates when anybody talks about the Phillies except for him.
Yeah,
so I don't think he's missing it too much. So, and by the way, so you can make us all jealous because it is, I think, like 20-some degrees today. What's it like in Clearwater right now?
Oh, it's really rough out here. It's like sunny and 75, 80 degrees today. I had to wear a sweatshirt this morning. It was brutal.
Oh, sounds terrible. Well, what's the vibe like? What's the mood like? I think when we were down there last year, we could, it was loose and they were having fun, but there was certainly a sense of determination. They knew what their goal was. What is the vibe like with the players there this year?
So I don't want people to read into this when I say it's not loose, because I think you also have to take into consideration what time of spring training it is. So like you just mentioned, Spike, all players just reported yesterday. So I think they're all still getting their bearings. They all seem extremely locked in and focused. I haven't seen, you know, a ton of, you know, the loose partying Phillies, because I think that they all are on the same mission this season, and especially this spring training. I actually asked Rob Thomson about it earlier today, you know, just what the general team mindset was, not necessarily what he and the coaches are saying to them, but what he's feeling from the players. And he said, you know, you really just have to reel them in a bit because they're obviously jaded from the way that the postseason ended the last several seasons, and they're hungry to get back at it, but you have to make sure that they don't expel too much before the end of the season, because it's a really long season. He brought up last year specifically, he said by early spring, you know, a lot of these guys were gassed, we saw injuries, so we just want to keep them healthy. So I think right now it's a balance. Like, they know the mission, they're confident in themselves, they know that they have the talent to contend again, but they're just trying to not get ahead of themselves. They're very locked in and focused.
That's interesting. You know, especially coming off of last, you know, last year they had just lost in six games to the, seven? To Arizona. I can't remember. Not this past year.
It was seven, right?
It was seven games to Arizona. And so it seemed like their mantra at spring training was all about getting to the World Series. Like, they were so focused on it. I remember John Middleton speaking to the team prior to that and talking about how he so desperately wanted that World Series trophy. And it's they bought into that, Devin and Spike, and they got out to a great start. I mean, they came out smoking. So I bring that up to say I'm wondering if they realize how long the season is, and it's not that they don't want to get off to a fast start, but they also realize it's a marathon and not a sprint, because they got off to a great start last year, and it didn't really help them in the end.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that can work to their benefit. It's almost similar to the Eagles, where I feel like maybe it's all Philadelphia teams almost thrive as kind of this underdog who people are counting out in a way. And they didn't have that last season. You know, last season, the messaging was clear from the start, from the top down, like you just mentioned from John Middleton, you know, World Series or bust. I don't think I've heard a single player say the words World Series since I've been down here, and like have been talking to quite a few players. No one has mentioned it. It's just, you know, we know how good we can be. We're not worried about all the offseason pickups that other teams in the National League have made, like the Dodgers and the Mets. We know that we can compete with them. And Bryce Harper even had something, don't quote me here, but he basically said, like, we're aware of the talent that was picked up around us, but we have full confidence. Like, that just drives us more in a way. So almost similar to the Eagles' mindset of, like, count us out and we're going to prove you wrong. And I think that they can thrive under that type of, or lack of pressure, I should say.
Well, thank God Topper's there to make sure they don't try too hard. Devin Caney with us from Clearwater. He's always there to make sure everybody's relaxed. That's me, not you. Don't worry. That's me. It does seem like for the first time that we have some players willing to be flexible in what positions they may play this year. A couple of guys.
Yeah. So some interesting potential swaps going on. So one that is actively happening through spring training is Kyle Schwarber is practicing just a few days a week, and he will practice a few days a week at first base. And I think that is more so about Bryce Harper getting potentially more rest days than he got last season, than, you know, Kyle Schwarber moving around. And JT Realmuto. So this isn't certain. I have some thoughts on this, but it was, you know, confirmed. Topper talked about it. JT talked about it, about him potentially playing some games in left field to give him a break behind the plate, because we know, you know, he had knee surgery last year. He's getting a little older. I also think his upcoming contract could have something to do with it. You know, Rob Thompson, the Phillies are very aware of the position that these guys like Schwarber and JT are in, where they need to prove themselves. You know, they want to stay in Philadelphia, but you also have to do what's best for them as players as they get older. I don't know about the JT to left field, though. I would think, if anything, they'd put Sosa out there. I haven't seen him practice at left field. He's been catching the days that I've been down here. But, look, anything's possible, and he seemed open to it. He said if it would help the team, I'll do whatever they ask.
If I'll get an extension, I will play wherever they tell me to.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well. $50 more million, and I will play wherever you want. Topper did mention, too, potentially splitting up Nola and Wheeler in the rotation as well, which I thought was an interesting little nugget, too.
Yeah, no, that is he kind of touched on that, but he's also not really diving deep into the starting rotation just yet, because he's been asked about that every time we've asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, like, we'll see. But I would imagine that he would split them up, whether it's Wheeler 1 and then Sanchez 2 and then Luzardo. I don't know what direction they're going to go in. But Nola hasn't been at camp the last few days.
He's been sick,
I believe,
right?
He's the only one of the starting rotation who hasn't been there. Yes, because he has food poisoning or the flu or some sort of bug. So we haven't seen him or Trey Turner yet.
All right, Scoops, are you going to be down there when we're down there in a couple of weeks? Or are you just straight through, or are you coming back? What's the deal?
No, I'm coming back. So I'm here this week. I'm here until tomorrow, and then I'm off. But hopefully I can come back in a couple weeks or next month to revisit and to get to hang with you guys. I don't know. Rod Lakin, are you listening?
Welcome, Lakin. She's always welcome. And thank you for bringing us a Super Bowl as well. Great job on the sideline this year.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, there she is. Devin Scoops Caney. Thank you, Scoops. Couple of things on the information she gave us there.
Yes.
The JT Realmuto giving his knees a break and playing left field.
Yeah, explain that one to me.
All right, so if left field is a break, someone explain to me why Bryce Harper couldn't consider playing in left field and us going to sign a first baseman at some point. Explain to me, if left field is a break,
right?
I don't understand it. The other thing is God bless JT Realmuto, and I know there was a report, I think, from Scott Lauber that both sides were thinking about an extension. You can't give JT Realmuto an extension. You can't. There was a time where he was unquestionably the best catcher in baseball.
Best catcher in baseball.
He's not anymore. He's top 10, but he's not the best catcher in baseball. Well, he is.
Not top 5?
I don't think so. He is a good catcher, but there is, if you're going to get that kind of production out of JT Realmuto, mm-hmm. Is he going to be like a 705 OPS guy? Then I'd rather spend no money on the catcher, or spend limited money on the catcher, have a good defensive catcher back there, and go spend the money elsewhere on somebody that's going to be more effective.
Who's our young
on offense.
Guy?
The guy who played last year. But
not
hurt.
Stubbs. Yeah.
He's always,
Marshawn.
Yeah. He's always hurt, though. He's always hurt. So I guess they can't give him an extension. Schwarber is a different story. Schwarber is a free agent after this year as well, and I'd certainly be willing to listen on Schwarber, but
sure.
I don't think Real
Madrid. Because he can always be a DH.
Yes, Schwarber, for sure. So there's that. It's just like, I don't know. And the whole, I understand pacing yourself, but one of the problems I had last year is that I don't think the manager is a guy who can wake them up.
Right.
And maybe it'll be easy. They searched for months to regain whatever spark they had at the beginning of the year, and they couldn't find it. Some of it may have been due to, Ranger not being any good the last couple months of the year certainly hurt.
Well, they got off to such a hot start, you know. That was obviously going to be hard to sustain. But I know how remember last year, that's all they kept talking about was getting to the World Series. Losing to Arizona here just didn't sit well with them. And I think that's what their focus was early in the season. That's how they came out, like gangbusters.
They talked about winning the division a lot, too. That was on their mind, too.
Yes, wanting to win the division, exactly. They talked about doing that. And then it seemed like we came back from London, everything just went away.
Yes. I remember, to me, the time when I started worrying was... It was the A's series before the All-Star break.
Yep.
And that last game, they lost like 21-3 or something. And there was just something about that series.
I mean, didn't Bryce play in that series?
He did.
Because he wanted to play in the All-Star game.
Yes. Yeah. And he is a guy who at this point in his career, he's had so many nagging injuries, back stuff, elbow stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He is a guy who has to maybe take 30 games off a year.
Yeah.
And coming back early from an injury, I think it was a hamstring.
Yeah.
So you can play in the All-Star game is not the right decision at this point. You know?
I did want to see him finally.
I know. We had that.
In an All-Star.
We had that. We'll do that again, I'm sure, this year.
I wanted to see him in an All-Star game in a Philadelphia uniform.
It's just like I look at the...
We finally saw it in 5 years.
Devin was mentioning the underdog thing. They have the third highest payroll in baseball. Like,
you're not the underdogs. you're not underdogs.
I want to believe in them. They have enough talent to get in the playoffs and make noise for sure. But they are, for me, going to have to prove all of those things that they said in those exit interviews, specifically that Rob Thompson said about the approach at the plate, about willingness, this willingness to change, willingness to play other positions, willingness to bat in other spots of the batting order. You know, Bryce willing to hit second, Schwarber willing to hit cleanup, Trey, you know, has to take some pitches and get on base if he's a leadoff hitter. To me, it's not about their talent. It is about their approach to winning, which I think at times, and this sounds harsh, was selfish last year and has been selfish. And if what is most important to you is winning, then you have to let those things go, I think.
Let's cover, or to use a baseball term, touch some bases that we haven't talked much about lately. I'll give you another one, go around the horn a little bit here. Couple quickies. We'll just move fast because I want to fire through a lot.
Yep.
The Phillies closer is a person or a committee?
Well, it's going to be a committee, but I think it's going to end up being, at some point, it'll be Kirkring.
Over Romano, really?
I do think so at some point.
Okay.
And I like Romano, and he's going to be the guy at the outset. But
I think he'll get the first shot, right, Romano?
Yes, he will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next question. The Phillies traded for Jesus Luzardo. They have a quality fifth starter in a way that is either never before, or if you want to say Blanton was quality enough, or the young guy that year, the Vannable, was quality enough, which he was as a good fifth starter. But generally, a team doesn't have a good fifth starter. So right now, the Phillies for 3, 4, and 5 in some order, after Wheeler and Nola, have Ranger, Sanchez, who was phenomenal last year, and Luzardo, who's had past success. How do you rank them? 3, 4, 5. Look, it doesn't really matter for April. It will matter if they're all healthy in October, because you're only going to have 4 guys to pitch in October as starters. How do you currently rank Luzardo, Ranger, and Sanchez?
Oof. Tough.
Good problem to have.
It's a great problem. I think it's the best rotation in baseball. I really do.
I think it's
the best rotation of baseball. And people, well, they haven't done very much. Well, guess what? Getting Luzardo, if he's on the field, this is the best rotation in baseball because I think believe that Suarez will be pitching, having the season of his life because he's pitching for his free agency and he will have the season of his life, I believe.
So Ranger 3? Because he was having the season of his life last year until he got hurt halfway through. He was the best pitcher in baseball for two and a half months. Yeah. He was number one.
But his body was
that broke down.
Ranger, Sanchez, Luzardo.
Okay.
And listen, they're all interchangeable because they have unbelievable ability. This is a great rotation.
And
God bless. I hope these guys stay healthy.
Right. And then Painter
he's coming.
But he's bullpen this year.
He's coming.
Maybe starter next year.
I don't think he's going to be in the bullpen. I think he's going to be a starter. And I think at some point they might go to
this
a six-man rotation.
He's a starter?
Painter?
Yeah.
He will be starting this year at some point.
Midsummer.
No doubt.
I'm surprised by
no
that.
No doubt?
No doubt in my mind he will be starting for the Phillies in some capacity.
Rob Thompson said it to you in the podcast.
They will not put him in the pen. They will not do that.
But they will in the playoffs, right?
Maybe.
If your other guys are healthy.
Maybe. He might be one of the starters in the playoffs.
If he's that good.
He's that, that good.
Okay. All right. All right.
What month?
Summer?
I spy Andrew Painter with my eye.
End of June.
The summer wind.
End of June.
And Andrew Painter comes walking in.
I'm peeping him.
End of June.
All right. I got a couple more here, Rube. We'll talk to Elliot shortly on the birds. A few more. So I'm higher on the Phils than a lot of people who were so down on them based on last year. I think they got still a great shot to win a World Series.
Yes, they do.
One of the five best teams in baseball, all that good stuff. But I am in a bad mood regarding center field. I mean, I'm annoyed that it looks like it's still a Rojas Marsh thing. You know, how's it going to be any different? I mean, it just was so substandard last year. And I'm a Marsh fan. We all love Marsh. But, I mean, and then the Rojas thing. I mean, Rojas reminds me of guys I grew up with in the 80s. That it's great in theory, like Jeff Stone. What a great theory. But if you can't hit, you can't play.
They need to be better. Both of those guys need to be better. Marsh needs to be better, and he can be. I mean, these are both really good players, but hey, Charlie Manuel used to say it all the time. You have to be an extraordinarily good player to be an everyday player on a championship team, and they have to get better.
Yeah.
I think the defense that they will provide helps a lot. I think it's going to be a much better overall defensive outfield, even though Kepler's never really played left field a whole lot in the big leagues.
You think he's going to play left?
I think Kepler's going to play left, and I think Castillo will stay in right field. I don't think Cassie's going anywhere.
Okay.
Real quick question on that, because Castillo has played left field before. Why do you think they would? I mean, they originally brought Castillo in to play left field. Why would you put the guy who's never played left field in left field when Castillo's played it?
I just think Castillo is just gotten way more comfortable in right field. I think he's gotten way better. I mean, he is a serviceable right fielder right now. Is he fast enough to play right field on a consistent basis? He's fast enough for me because he makes the plays, he gets the angles, he works very hard at it, and he's gotten much better. Is he a double plus defender in right? Is he worth? No, but he is at least adequate, and I think you're going to get the athleticism that's necessary in left field out of Kepler, because he's a very good athlete.
All right, one more, Ruben. We're going to get to Elliott and back to calls shortly. One more. So this isn't a player, and this is going to probably be the longest answer because I think it's a little bit complicated. Mm-hmm. Team mindset for April and May. Here's what I mean. Last year, they were gangbusters. And they were gangbusters with a purpose, in part because they were in a bad mood the way it ended Game 7 of the NLCS. And we all admired the way they came out, hair on frickin' fire. And it did cross a lot of our minds that they may have peaked too early. If you're Rob Thompson, do you slow pedal April and May a little bit to try to preserve the tank? Because it's a long season, and October matters more than April. Is last year a lesson, or am I just talking out of my hiney right now?
Talking out of your hiney.
Play as hard as you can.
Yes, you just play. And the reason why they were so great in the first half is because their starting pitching was ridiculous.
Yeah,
they had no question in my mind that they were the best starting pitching in baseball. And Ranger Suarez went down. The other thing that happened was you had your shortstop go down.
Yeah.
And those are two huge pieces. When you have your rotation with Ranger getting hurt and, you know, things started to happen. I mean, Walker was not, you know, producing. I think that had a massive change towards the middle of the season. And, you know, when you lose a pitcher of that caliber, Ranger was the best left-handed pitcher in baseball at the time. They basically lost him for a while. And they lost one of the best offensive shortstops in the game for a while, a month and a half. Now, Edmundo did a nice job.
Yeah, but Trey never came back stealing bases.
He never came back being the same guy.
Never.
He was not the same. I mean, I looked at the numbers on Trey, and we talked about it. If you extrapolate the numbers from the second half of 23 and the first half of 24, 320, 370, 550, and 915. That was his line with, I mean, MVP numbers.
Man.
And so this guy... I know the finish was not great because he did not perform in the playoffs. A lot of guys didn't perform in the playoffs. You got to have a little bit more confidence in one of the best players in the game. He's still one of the best offensive players in baseball.
Okay, we'll see. Well, they were certainly banged up as the year went on, and it affected them. And an example is Ranger, who pitched, I think, three or four or five innings of game four without giving up a run, but because he struggled in the process of that game, they had to get Hoffman up in the first inning. They had to get Hoffman up in the second inning. You can't get the guy up 13 times in a game. It kind of screwed the game, even though, anyway, we know the deal. And then Hoffman was injured the whole deal. All right. Let's talk some football. Rube, I am really looking forward to this baseball season.
It's going to be a great
year. Both with you, with Ben, with the station, the show.
People need to stay positive about it because, I mean, I think it's a great segue for the Philly fans, and I think that they should stay positive about this team, even though they didn't make the big splash. I view this team as a contending team, and I view them as a contending team for the foreseeable future.
Good deal. All right, not brutal as how much money Bryce Harper makes, but he'd like to make more. So let's get to the Bryce comment. This was about a week ago or so. These days all run together for me. We've had so much Eagles content. We hadn't done as much Phillies, but it's fun to get. John, isn't this good to get back talking Phillies again? I mean, and a fascinating season up ahead.
It sure is.
Fascinating.
And we've, we were exciting because we might actually have a chance to do different things, better things.
Might.
Even though it hasn't been that exciting an offseason.
But listen, maybe they fall flat again and, in the playoffs. We'll see. But anyway, my point is I'm excited to talk Phils. So Bryce Harper is 6 years in, 7 years to go on what was a 13-year, $330 million deal. Now remember, it's technically going to be a little less than 330 because in the COVID year he made, a third of that because, they didn't play as many games. But basically it's near $330 million. He said last year he wanted, more years. Scott Boras was really hardcore about the way he presented it. Bryce was asked at the start of spring training his thoughts now, and he didn't go as hard as last year, but he's also not really backing off it. Here's Bryce Harper.
You've talked about wanting to extend your contract potentially. Is that something you feel like any progress has been made on, and is it still a goal?
I think that's a question for, Scott and John and Dave. I'm here to play baseball. I'm here to understand that we're trying to win a World Series, and if that gets done, this year or any year, we want to get that done.
All right, the very end, he says we want to get that done. So he gives you all the right stuff, World Series, talk to my agent and talk to the owner, blah, blah, blah. But the last phrase, quote, we want to get that done.
I think he's saying it based on winning, not necessarily on getting the contract.
Well, I heard it totally different.
I heard it as we want to get that done, meaning I want to win a World Series. That's where I got it.
Seltzer, why don't you play it?
I think we play it again. Yeah.
Let's play it again. James, which was your initial interpretation?
So my initial interpretation was your interpretation, but it kind of like throwaway because he said that if we get it done before that type of thing. So I want to listen again.
Audio's also a little grainy, but let's listen to it. Let's hear it interpret again.
You've talked about wanting to extend your contract potentially. Is that something you feel like any progress has been made on, and is it still a goal?
I think that's a question for, Scott and John and Dave. I'm here to play baseball. I'm here to understand that we're trying to win a World Series, and if that gets done, this year or any year, we want to get that done.
Oh, okay. He's definitely talking about the World Series. Ruben's right.
Well, he says if we win the World Series, we'll get that done. If we win the World Series, then we can get that done.
Okay, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Listen, until they win the World Series, he probably should be on the back burner.
I hope that's the way he's looking at it. I think that's a great outlook.
But I will say this. It's going to be all hail Caesar Harper if they win the World Series, okay?
I'm fine with them getting more money if they win the World Series.
Bring me a title?
Come on.
Yeah, but if I still got him under contract 6 more years,
meritocracy, sure.
Yeah.
You won us
a ring,
take
brother.
The World Series, and we'll talk.
Seltzer, you would hurt the 2033 Phillies.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't care.
He doesn't care. I would.
James wouldn't care.
For a ring? Of course. Give me a ring.
But you'd already have the ring. And then you're saying, I'm just going to give you extra money just because. I'm going to give you money for when you're 41 just because.
If they win the World Series? It's good. It's a bonus.
He's sticking with his guns.
Ruben, let me tell you something.
What do you got?
I'd be a great owner, GM, president of blank operations.
Because you wouldn't care.
I'd be ruthless.
Like, this is what he does.
I'd be a great president of the United States.
I'd be a great owner of a baseball team.
You just kind of
the
like,
only thing I wouldn't be good at is Pope.
Like
I do admit that.
Bubbles oh above God. Your head.
Be bad Pope.
It's the only thing you wouldn't be good at.
Wouldn't be a good Pope.
Okay, that's
with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Well, first thing I want to say is I have thought about the possibility of being Pope and President at the same time. Hard to do.
You can't be Pope.
Hard to do. Yeah. Although Paul Owens, Ruben, was he Pope and President at the same time? He was Pope. Was he ever President of the Phillies? Yeah.
Never President.
Here's GM.
GM.
All right, so not Pope and President same time. Paul Owens, if you're too young to know, he was a tremendous and incredibly important figure in the history of the Phillies franchise.
Yeah.
And his nickname was the Pope. So there you go. All right, Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
I got to be honest with you guys. I don't know if winning the Super Bowl was really that great for me at all or not. I'll just be randomly in public or driving down the road, and all of a sudden I'll just be like, "Covered!"
That's good, man.
When the legendary Angelo Castaldi retired, did they go outside to look for another candidate? No, they knew they had a legend in Joe DeCamera.
DeCamera!
Time's yours.
First off, we're a whole team.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, first off, we're a team.
Legend.
And second off, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
Wow.
But the third, about the going in-house thing.
About the going in-house thing.
But sometimes in-house don't work. I mean, I'm just saying. So yeah, sometimes it works. Sometimes, but thank you, sir.
I mean, it's arguable if this is working.
That
right?
is
I mean,
correct.
You know.
What a relief to hear some baseball talk with Ruben again. We all know that Joe DeCamera has been too busy with his 37th rewatch of Mary Tyler Moore prepare for spring training. Will the great indoorsman make the trek to Clearwater this year for another nap? Stay tuned. I'm yours,
wow.
Joey.
I forgot Backstub. About the nap last year.
So I already started budgeting time for the nap.
Because you're not going to come to the game with us again?
Well, so I don't know, but
oh
I know this.
God.
Amy's
Richie, I'm going to the game with
again.
You, buddy.
Yeah, I'll yeah. see you there.
Emily and Zoe are coming. That'll be
amazing.
Fun. Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah. Three will be there.
Thank you. I'll be there.
I'll just say this, James. Here's how I know when I'm already thinking of it. So Amy's flying down on the Thursday. We're going, for everyone listening, we're going to be coverage in 2 weeks down there. Amy's coming down on the Thursday. But I already told her, when you fly in, I may be napping at that time in the afternoon. So I am.
Wow.
What I do is prepare for 6 to 10 a.m., whatever I got to do to get myself ready. That's it.
I don't know what it is with these 76ers, man. I mean, gosh, back in the day, what was it? Jeff Rulin, the knee hurt. Years go by, and we get this guy with big guy, another big guy. Bynum, Andrew Bynum, another one. And now we get this guy, Embiid. I mean, he's never going to make it. Let's face it. Come on, guys. It's not going to get better. Unfortunately, time's yours.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's looking that way, which is really, really awful. All right, with that said, time's yours. Let's shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
We got to rifle through some stuff here quickly in the final couple minutes. Joe and Hugh, of course, coming up at the top of the hour. Twitter poll questions of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Amongst us, Rhea, you said Schwarber. I said Schwarber. James, I believe you said Schwarber, right?
I said Schwarber.
Ruben, you said Stott. John, I don't know what your feeling is here yet.
I would like Stott.
Okay.
So we go left, right, left to Bryce.
All right, I got the poll results. How do you think they came in, John? The three choices were Schwarber, Stott, and Turner.
Crazily, I think Schwarber wins this.
Turner wins it considerably.
Ooh, going away.
61% Trey Turner, 20% Schwarber, 19% Stott. File that away. We'll talk about that more in another show. That's pretty interesting. Let's get to the second poll question. It relates to the 76ers. And the question is, do you think the Sixers will make the playoffs? Yes or no?
Oh, I'm going to say it's as 50-50 as it gets.
90% say no.
I said no.
Ruben, I need a ruling from you, and I need this quick, if you don't mind, because we've got to move fast.
Yep.
Does being in the play-in, but then not getting into the top eight count as being in the playoffs?
No.
You're in the postseason.
Nope.
The regular season has ended.
It's a joke. You qualify.
Well, plan's a joke. All right. Third and final poll question, John. Should the Sixers tank the rest of the season? Yes or no?
Yeah. I guess since 90% said the last one, yeah. It's
going
to be close to that. 89% say yeah.
88. You're good, man. You're very good. All right. We need to come up with a winning answer for notable replacement. Reminder, it can be good or bad. So good replacement, obviously, would be Lou Gehrig replacing Wally Pipp. Charlie Manuel coming in, being a manager, was phenomenal. We've got John Adams as the second president is very notable. It's part of how we didn't have, you know, like a monarchy around here. You know, G-Dub said, hey, we got to survive me.
G-Dub.
G-Dubs.
Tight.
Tom Brady, big one.
Ew.
What are we doing
Ew.
Here?
I like Lou Gehrig.
I mean, Johnny Carson's a great
Adams
answer.
And Gehrig are my two favorite.
Yeah.
I'm all good right. with Gehrig.
Yeah, it's classic.
Sweet Lou.
Yeah, not Johnny Carson.
All right, so is it Lou Gehrig over John Adams?
Yeah.
Yes. I think so.
Even though John Adams was a more important
far more care. Consequential person, but yes.
But we're going baseball because we love baseball?
Yes.
James, do we love baseball more than our nation?
Yes.
How about this? There is no baseball without our nation. How about that?
How about
America's pastime.
All right, congratulations to the caller, Bill, who had the answer of Lou Gehrig.
Oh, Bill, that was the 1982 guy. His first call. How about that, Bill?
That's right.
Look at you,
was his
Bill.
First call.
Bill, look at you. 43 years later.
He's see one for one.
It.
Billy, see don't you lose 40. My number.
A couple things from a Phillies perspective. I just saw our own Devin Caney, who's down there, tweet this out. So let me update you on a couple things that are happening down there in Clearwater. Bryce Harper and Aaron Nola were not at the first full squad workout due to food poisoning. According to Rob Thompson, Trey Turner is late on a personal matter. He's expected to be in Clearwater tomorrow. All right. So the big question is with some of those veteran guys, whether that's Trey Turner, whether that's Bryce Harper, Castellanos, Schwarber, Realmuto, et cetera, we know who we're talking about here. Will those guys be willing and able to adapt for an entire season to an approach where you're taking more pitches, where you're using the opposite field more, where you're making more contact? Jury's out, because they emphasized that last year it was there to an extent early, and as the season went on, it started to dissipate. But I think we all know from watching this team, the odds are if they're not willing to adapt, that they're going to run into the same trouble that they ran into last year. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Pete in Maryland. He wants to talk some Phils. What's up, Pete? Pete, you all right there, man?
Yeah, sorry. That's
okay.
I didn't realize you were talking to me.
That's all right.
But anyway, want to talk about the Phillies batting.
You got
The reason what they need to do is keep their feet on the ground instead of this high-stepping thing they want to do. Because the baseball swing is a rotational thing where you're going to need two anchors.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who's got the really exaggerated leg kick is Realmuto. And when his timing gets off, it can look really, really bad.
Well, Bryce Harper does it too, a lot.
I mean, yeah, he'll change it up, though. I mean, he's also a guy who can hit when he doesn't move his, you know, he keeps close stance and just swings. He can adapt. I don't know that Realmuto can. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, hold on.
All right, Pete. Bye, Pete. All right, so, I mean, I don't know if that's going to change necessarily. I've never been in love with the high leg tap. Some guys make it work for themselves a lot. But if you think about this team, the ironic part is the guy who it seemed like was on the hot seat to be moved, Bohm, is the guy who probably would fit what they want to do really more than anybody else in their regulars. I mean, he uses all fields. He's a guy who at least previously was not bad hitting with two strikes. He's a line drive hitter.
Drove in runs.
He drove in 97 off the top of my head, whatever.
Yeah, missed some time, so he could add 100, but still.
So, you know, he is back. It's a really big season for him, and it's a really big season offensively for Bryson Stott. And those guys need to be better. Now, it was more Bohm down the stretch, and I think after he got hit on the hand, affected him. It came out later that Stott had an elbow issue, and that was affecting him offensively. We'll see. Time will tell. But it's going to be a question of these older guys and how much they're going to be willing to buy in. And, you know, we talked a lot about what Nick Sirianni did with the Eagles and Vic Fangio and the buy-in. Are you a believer, Francisco, that the older cats here are going to buy into this for a full season?
No. I mean, we saw how they were, post NLDS letdown. They're just like, we thought we were going to flip a switch. It's just baseball. I still think that's their mindset. Like, these guys are all getting, you know, 30 mil a year, Trey, Bryce. And I don't think Bryce is really a problem, but I don't know. Maybe Bryce is a part of like the whole like culture there.
He has to be.
Yeah, I hate to say it because we all love Bryce. I mean, we know how clutch Bryce can be, but
well, no,
it's a problem, man.
Here's what I mean
with Bryce. And now Bryce is a guy who will use the other field too, but I think he's got to be the leader here and emphasize and echo and parrot what the organization is saying. Like, hey man, we need buy-in from everybody here. Like, he needs to be the leader as far as this goes, because what he says goes and holds a lot of weight, as it should. If he doesn't buy into it, they're not going to, JT's not going to buy into it if Bryce isn't doing it, nor is, you know, Castellanos or whomever. They're not going to buy into it if Harper's not doing it.
But I also wonder, because, like, he's good friends with Trey, he's good friends with JT. I wonder if he's almost not as, like, I wonder if he's like softer towards them. Maybe not.
They're not going to get on them. But
you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know that I need him like calling guys out publicly. I'm just saying behind closed doors.
I even think behind closed doors, though. I don't know. I'm not sure how it,
but I don't think it has to be a finger point. I think it just has to be, hey guys, let's all
Let's go.
Let's all get in. On this
is our window. Like, let's go win.
And I would hope that they see this. Like, it doesn't work the way we're doing it, and you got to change things up. They're at that point now. This is a really critical mass kind of situation. My thought process is, with the as miserable as it's been for the Sixers, with the Flyers, it's a sort of a different outlook because you know what it is. However, they're not going to be a playoff team. We are looking at a weird month, and then it is going to be all in on the Phillies. And there is going to be a very, very bright light shining on the Phillies. And it's one of those seasons for them. It's going to be one of those really critical seasons considering. But all that said with the Phillies, and, you know, we could debate the approach all we want, they have a really good starting rotation. They have a very accomplished team that's gotten there, gotten to the playoffs at least, the last 3 years.
But then look at the Dodgers.
No, I know. I hear
no,
you.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. But I think you should have a team that is incredibly motivated with the way that season ended against the Mets. It should drive you. Like, if this team isn't on sort of an Eagles type of focus mission, then there really is a problem.
Well, you saw Castellanos said they're kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Well, I hope that. All I'm saying is I hope that says something to him. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I do too. They're all getting to the point where if it doesn't happen this year, it's definitely not going to happen together. It's not, because you're going to see them moving on. Like, Schwarber has been pretty open that he wants a new contract. They haven't given him a new contract. JT's on the last year of his deal. If JT's offense continues the way it started going at the end of last year, especially, you know, he's either not going to be back or he's going to be back at a way cheaper number. So there's a lot of different things you look at. I still do worry a little bit about the back end of the bullpen. That's an area I think they could have addressed a little bit differently, a little bit better. But if some of these guys that are coming off injuries from their previous teams get back to that form, then the back end could be nasty. They could have some really good pitching. They could. But do they have enough offense? Will they have enough offense in a big spot? Let's get we got Jerry, Truckhorn Jerry. What's happening, Jerry?
First
Jerry.
Time I talk to you since we won the Super Bowl, I believe.
How you doing, my man?
Well, you know, I'm going to be home by tomorrow, and I'll be home until start out on Monday, so I'm going to be making my rounds. I'll be up at Chickie's on Friday for the afternoon show to holler at them boys.
Beautiful.
And I tell you, Rob, I'll do my impeachment guy first before I forget.
Okay.
And that's Tyrone Walker. Oh,
good one. I can't believe it took this long to get Tyrone Walker.
Get him out of here, bro. I'm tired of listening to all he's doing now. Just get him out of here and get something else.
He's somehow still here. Ugh. Yeah.
I just can't believe it, Rob.
I got you.
My next point is, the best part, I was telling Franny there, the best part about the NBA All-Star Game, you know, the only reason I watch it because I have nothing else to do. I'm laying around
you.
All day.
I understand. Yeah.
But listen, at halftime, they pulled a random kid out of the stand, some kid, I don't know, he might have been 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I forget who the guy was that was shooting against them. They were shooting from the logo on the court. And the boy had to make one shot before, what's his name, made three. And at the very end, before they went, the boy hit his shot.
Oh, nice.
And he won $100,000.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun. That's a good idea.
That was, That was the best thing I saw because the
that
games
was the highlight.
The games themselves, they played, basically they should have just had just shooting threes and dunks because that's basically what it was, yeah. Running up and down the court. They only played to 40. It wasn't that great. And Kevin Hart was funny as could be, and the only other best thing was Too Short sang Blow the Whistle at halftime.
There you go. You're a big Too Short guy, aren't you, Jerry?
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm not that tall myself, so... You know what I'm saying? So I'm
yeah,
going to leave you out with this, Rob. Blow the whistle.
There it is.
Blow the whistle. Go Birds, baby. Go Birds.
All right, Jerry. There it is. You see Jerry getting down to this in the rig? Yeah. Maybe I'll change this to my open music. No, maybe I won't. No, maybe.
Imagine that.
Let's not get that crazy.
All By the way, did you real quick, did you hear the way Jerry said logo? It was the most Delco logo.
Logo. Hoagie. You had a half of
I
Al.
I had a hoagie from Al left me.
Al took care of you. Yeah, I got it.
From logo.
Hoagie. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. All right, so a couple things here to keep your eye on. One, Canada's rolling right now, so it looks like it's going to be Canada-USA on Thursday. That's going to be really cool. That game's being played in Boston, so that the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. You got, after that, the Flyers coming back from this little hiatus, and then the Sixers starting up. But really, I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the Phillies, and it's amazing how quickly, like, we have games this weekend. Games this weekend. I love it. That is pure joy for me that the Phillies are getting that are this close, that they're in camp, and we're going to start this season off. And it's going to be a really fascinating study now, case study, with this story coming out by Matt Gelb from The Athletic about the approach offensively. And you know we're all going to be keeping our eye on it right away, man, and seeing how some of these veteran guys respond to that. That's for sure. All right. It's been a lot of fun today. Want to thank Francisco Rojas. Appreciate it, my man. Good job out of my guy, Lewis.
Thanks. Yeah, about to say.
Observing.
He's observing. He's just watching. This is his first training session.
When is the first time in the helm for Lewis? When are we taking the training wheels off? We don't know yet.
He doesn't know yet. He's still getting put through the fire.
Fair
Once
enough.
He earns it, he'll be there.
He's got to earn it. I like it. All right. So thanks to Al, who was hanging out. I'll be back with you guys on Saturday. Usual time, 10 to 1 with Mike Sielski, and then I'll be back with you guys on Sunday as well.
So the Phillies are going to try a new lineup this year,
mm-hmm.
with Trey Turner leading off. Kyle Schwarber, I assume, hits fourth. We hit Bohm third, Bryce Harper hitting second, mm-hmm. even though Bryce is not super thrilled with that, but he'll do it because he's a team guy.
Anywhere from 2 to 4.
He will hit wherever they want as long as it's between 2 and 4. So one third of the lineup he will hit. So here's what Trey Turner had to say about hitting leadoff.
Rob said a couple times this offseason.
I like it. I've always hit one or two for the most part in my career. I hit a little three, but one or two early on, and I think it would be fun, be a little different. I've been in that tool for a few years now, but kind of get back to a little bit more speed and have that aspect of being.
Do you think you could run more if you're hitting leadoff and Bryce is hitting directly behind you?
I've run a lot more. I've said that a lot in my career in general. I could have run a lot more throughout my entire career, but it's more about scoring runs. I don't really care about stealing the base. It's more about scoring the runs. So, I think at times in the last few years, and even when I played in Washington, L.A., there was times where, I could steal a base, but I got to stay there to let, those guys hit, and that's part of the game. And definitely could steal more. I'm not going to act like I could steal 70, 80 bases or anything like that, but, there's a handful of times where the opportunity's there, and for a stolen base specifically, but that's not always the right play, I guess.
So I love stealing bases. I think stealing bases is one of the, like, as an offense, if you have the pitcher and the defense worried about you taking an extra base, mm-hmm. it can affect the entire, like, you can change the entire course of a game by stealing one base at the right time. Trey Turner is certainly fast. I appreciate them trying something. The Trey Turner I've watched, now I've only watched one everyday season of Trey Turner, and that is last year. Mm-hmm. Like watching every single game. Trey Turner does not seem like a leadoff hitter to me. Mm-hmm. He's
what is a leadoff hitter?
Well, a leadoff hitter works counts. prioritizes getting on base as opposed to power. Like he just seems sort of like he's a weird guy, because watching him, I wouldn't expect his numbers to look as good as they do at the end of the year, because he's a sort of a frustrating player to watch. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to get up there and work counts and take a walk over a hit, you know, so he can get on base. That just doesn't scream Trey Turner to me. Now, it doesn't scream leadoff hitter. It screams leadoff hitter to me more than Kyle Schwarber does. It's a neat thing, the Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff thing does. I don't know.
Do you think there's a leadoff hitter on the team?
I don't. No.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that they're trying to... Like I said at the beginning, I appreciate them trying stuff.
Right.
I do think Bryce Harper is a better... If he was tasked with that job, would do a better job at it than Trey Turner would, because he's a better hitter than Trey Turner is. Mm-hmm. Even Alec Bohm is a better hit. Like, just his numbers aren't as good, but if you told him get up there, work pitches, he's just way too slow. I get it. I understand it. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. Now, if his approach is changed, all that stuff they talked about, he could be, right? I mean, he's a good hitter. He hasn't always been a power hitter in his career. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the Trey Turner that I've watched is not a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's a natural leadoff hitter, but again, like you say, it depends on what they're trying to do with this lineup.
Right.
For years, people with Schwarber being up there as a leadoff guy. And then last year, Schwarber didn't hit as many home runs, but he certainly walked a lot more, and his on-base percentage was a lot higher. But then you get on the base paths, and... Do you clog up the bases?
Right.
You know, Trey Turner talking about not being able to run. Well, part of that is who's in front of him.
Well, we had the same conversation with Bohm about Bohm not being a cleanup mm-hmm. hitter. But then you say, well, but then what are you going to do? If you put Bryce there, then Bryce has nobody. Castellanos behind him. You mm-hmm. don't want that. You know?
And they do the whole lefty righty thing.
Right.
You can never forget about how important that is.
Oh yes.
God forbid if we ever put back to back righties or back to back lefties.
How would we ever survive? Great hitter. If they're good hitters, they're good hitters.
That's the way I've always looked at it. You know what? Here's what I hope. I hope they stick with it for a while.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
Hope they stick with it, because this could be something where Trey feels comfortable being back in that spot. There's a sense of responsibility being the leadoff guy. Maybe this gets him locked back in
mm-hmm.
to where he knows. Because it's almost as if Trey Turner, the 2 years he's been here, as if he's almost had to be covered up, or, you know, the whole standing ovation thing. I guess he appreciated it, but I'm sure it was embarrassing to him, like he's some charity case when this guy has been an all-star player and a World Series champion. Like, it's been messing with him the 2 years that he's been here. He started off as the leadoff guy, and it only lasted 20 games, I believe, the first time around. They had to move him because Schwarber maybe didn't like being where he was, so they put him up there. If they stick with it, this could be something good for Trey Turner. Now,
give him an identity.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, they got me in the leadoff spot. Now they're doing this because they feel confident in me. I can start to get my mojo back, my swagger back.
And maybe he doesn't try to hit as many home runs, honestly. You know, and maybe it fixes him. All right, you talked me into it.
There we go.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
That's what happens to the people that's known me on hold waiting.
Yes. See, now I know. Now I know the issue. All right, show over. I'm talked into it. There we go. You know, Ike knows two things, talking me into stuff and meat. That's the other thing he knows.
Come on, man.
Well, it's true. Talk about meat before we get back to the phones.
No, you're right. Now that the parade is over, we can talk about more meat.
Yep.
Tackle your family's menu with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles from Dietz & Watson. Fire up that grill with perfectly smoked premium Franks and sausages from Dietz & Watson. Parties and lunches are always better with condiments, freshly sliced meats, artisan cheeses, and Dietz Nuts meat snacks. You heard that right. Dietz Nuts meat snacks. Free from Dietz & Watson. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find the local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson. It's a family thing.
By the way, now that we're talking about Trey, do you have the Steve Cohen audio there? So Steve Cohen was on the podcast with...
Howie Rose.
With Howie Rose, the play-by-play guy for the Mets.
The first time you said that, I was like, why was Steve Cohen on a podcast with Howie Roseman?
Yeah, with Howie Rose. And he was actually talking about the Trey Turner standing ovation thing. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. Here's what he had to say.
I'm asking the fans for a little patience. I'm asking the fans and, you know, everybody that, you know, watches the Mets to embrace these young players. And it was pretty fascinating that, you know, the situation with Trey Turner last year, where he got off to a really bad start, and the fans gave him a standing ovation at a game, right at the...
And this is in Philadelphia.
This is in Philadelphia, right? Which is like, wow, okay? You wouldn't expect it from them. And then he went, and right there, it turned around his season. Players, you know, they get in funks, and sometimes they're adjusting the new surroundings. And so I'm asking the fans, you know, to give our young players a chance, and our new players a chance, and let's see how the season develops. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised where how we end up.
So the Trey Turner standing ovation thing is, it's just one moment that will never happen again. Do you know what I mean? Like I
are you sure about that?
Well, I think
happen for Trey Turner again.
I think pointing to it as an example of fans, I think fans, and you made this point, because some of the younger fans, if you're 30 years old or 35 years old, you're generally more positive because you've lived through, the Eagles have been good
pretty much good times.
Yeah, most of your entire life, the Eagles have been good, and they've won two Super Bowls. The Phillies have been good for half of your life and won a World Series and been to three
of them. Yep.
Even the Sixers have not won, but like over the last 10 years have at least been
good basketball,
good and interesting most of the time. So you mentioned that you just think the fans are not jaded the way that the older ones like me are, because they didn't go through this. So that is part of it. But like, you can't ask for, like, Steve Cohen asking for the fans to be that way.
I agree.
That's not how it works.
No.
It just works because everyone wanted it to happen at that moment, and it was a moment.
Yeah.
And what I mean by it'll never happen again is, like, it just has to happen.
Yeah.
It can't just be an attitude toward, hey, we're always just going to be positive, because then I don't think that's good either. I don't think cheering everyone when they suck is a great idea either.
I agree.
It was just one moment, you know, with a new guy who was struggling, and it caught fire, and that's what it is.
I totally agree. I was on a podcast the other day talking about fans here. I was down at the in Millville.
Okay.
At the Elks Club.
Yep.
And I was just talking about the appreciation for fans and why fans should never change, and how unique the fans are in this area, Philadelphia sports fans, how they hold their players accountable, how they hold the teams accountable. The teams and the players may not like the feeling of that in the moment, but I guarantee you, when they get a chance to step back away from it, those that took it for what it was intended to be will appreciate it. 'Cause all you really did was force them to be their very best. Instead of relaxing on their laurels, resting on their laurels, resting on your money that you've made, and not caring about what the fans care about. The fans here care about effort. They care that you care. And they want to win. That's what fans want. They're going to support you. They're going to support you. Like, but that's what they want in return for that. And when they get that in return for that, you, as a franchise or as players, you get showered and covered in praise and undaunted loyalty. And don't mistake criticism for being disloyal.
Right.
Because the fans are the loyal ones. These are the ones that are here for decades upon decades.
The ones booing when it's bad are the ones you should care about the most.
Yes.
The loyal ones aren't the ones that say everything that you do is good.
Yes.
Most of those fans aren't around when the team stinks. All they know is when they're good.
Yep.
Right? And I guarantee you, like, Steve Cohen, like, you don't get the patient thing. And if you're you and your team went to the NLCS last year and you just signed the biggest free agent in baseball history, I guarantee you, if Juan Soto in June is hitting .246 with six home runs, they're going to friggin' boo him.
Yeah.
He's not getting a standing ovation.
No, they're not giving Juan Soto a standing ovation.
No.
That's not happening.
No.
And by the way, I wouldn't have learned about the fans the way I feel I know them now if I didn't do this.
Right.
This has allowed me to appreciate fans a lot more and understand where they come from. It's not just about, that's all you want to do is complain. No, man, this fan base, this is in their bloodstreams. These teams are in their, it's in their veins, man. It's what they get up. It's part of their daily lives.
Well, we heard from the guy the other day who said his mom passed away and instructed them, I want to be buried in my Eagles shirt and my Eagles necklace.
Yes.
With an Eagles hat in there and this memento from this game. That's like...
You ain't getting that in Miami.
No.
You ain't getting that in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Right? Like, you're not getting that in Dallas.
No.
You're not getting that in, you know, Houston or, you know, you may get it in Chicago.
Yeah,
you might, but you know, but man, this, and I think players that come here, like Saquon, and Saquon played in New York. I guarantee you, Saquon has a different appreciation for Eagles fans now.
Oh, absolutely.
Having played in front of them. Now, he was on the other side of it, catching it every time he came down here. But I guarantee you he has a different appreciation for this fan base.
Yeah, and they're not with football, and certainly not with the Giants. Those fans up there are not the same way that we are here. They care.
You would know.
I would say Jets fans are more similar to us than Giants fans are. Jets fans are just... Or like the version of us where it never got good. Right. You know what I mean? They're just, imagine if we
never were good. Yeah. Yes.
I want you to sit right now and imagine if the Eagles didn't make the playoffs for 13 straight years. 13. Imagine what we would be like if we didn't make the playoffs. Oh, by the way, take away these two the Super Bowls we had in the middle.
We missed the playoffs 2 straight years? When's the last time that happened? I felt like we would have melted just missing the playoffs 2 straight years.
Was it the last 2 years of Andy? Because we had the 8-8 year.
You know what it was, the last 2, yep.
We had the 8-8 year, and then his last year they were 4-12, right? So it had to be then.
Oh, you know what? It was Chip's last year and Doug's first year.
Oh, there you go.
Chip's last year, Doug's first year.
You're right. And that, and the last 2 years of Andy.
That was 3 straight years, no playoffs.
Was it?
Chip's final 2 years, he didn't make the playoffs. He was 10-6 the second year, but we didn't get in.
Isn't it crazy to think Chip was here 3 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he was here 3 years. It seems like he was here 6 months.
Or 6 years.
Or 6 years. Yeah, I guess it depends on who you talk to. Coming up next, we'll get to your calls, 215-592-9494. And the top 5 at 5. Well, the top 5 at 5 is usually handled by Jack Fritz. Mm-hmm. Jack is out. We do have an artificial intelligence version of Jack we've created. It thinks on its own, but it cannot lie. It is Honest Jack. We had Honest Jack in last time that Jack was on paternity leave, and Honest Jack comes back with the top 5 at 5. I don't know what it's about. We will talk to Honest Jack and see what it's about. So that is coming up next. This is WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.